So in Masechet Sanhedrin, on Daf Lamud, Amud Bet.
30B.
30B, thank you. We've been learning a brighter. It says two things. Looking at the question of witnessing together and testifying together, two different things. Do witnesses need to witness together, see the same thing at the same time, in the same place, witness together? Separately, another question, do they need to testify together? Two different questions. Rice has dealt with both of them. There's a machloket on both sides. First of all, the first machloket is, do they need to testify together? Sorry, do they need to witness? First thing to witness. Do they need to witness? So that's a machloket. Rabbanan say you need to witness together. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says no, you don't need to witness together. To witness two different things, but they can be combined to create testimony of two witnesses. Everybody agrees we need testimony of two witnesses. We're just trying to understand what does the Torah mean when it says you need two witnesses.
Now, we're only talking about monetary issues right now. For witnessing.
Again. Yes. For other purposes, corporal, you definitely need both witnesses at the same time. Because they have to witness the event itself. Blineda, actually, I'm not sure. Not sure if that's true, but what we're dealing with here, as far as we know, is only monetary. It may be different rules for...
Because with monetary, you don't need to get warnings.
You're right. So that would be a factor. That's pretty good. But you could have two... You're right. So what would the witness be? Yeah, I guess you have to witness the event. Because I'm thinking... You need two witnesses. Can you have witness to someone who admitted a crime? Someone says to his friend, or to two people, you know, yesterday I stole some money from Fred. Right, so they didn't witness the crime. And they weren't there to give him the warning. It was already after the event. It depends if he had a warning, if he said, but yeah, I was there. Some two people warned me. And I did it anyway.
So the people that warned him would be the actual witnesses?
Probably, unless they weren't available for some reason. And then, do we rely on... Because hearsay witness here, if someone admits, we see that's good, certainly in the case of monetary. Is it good enough in a criminal action to just, not to witness the event itself, but just to hear the admission of the individual? Don't know. Good question. Probably, hopefully, it's in a different masachet somewhere else. Maybe we might even be in this masachet, we might get to it. We'll see, but it's a question. We don't have an answer to it at the moment. So we have machloket on both sides of the argument. Firstly, machloket whether or not you need to witness together. Secondly, machloket on whether you need to testify together. The second machloket is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Natan. Tanakhama says you need to be there, both of you together, to testify together in the courtroom. Whether that means. See that it doesn't mean actually together. It just means that they're both there at the same time. Rav Nathan says, no, you can have one testify on one day, and then have another one come another day and testify on a different day, and that will combine to have a testimony of two witnesses. Okay. So then, last thing we said is, on 30b1, the end of 30b1, we saw that there was an argument as to who the halacha follows. An argument between Rav Chiya bar Avin, in the name of Rav, and Ulla. Rav Chiya bar Avin, in the name of Rav, says the halacha follows Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha in both land and metaltalin, karka and metaltalin, land and movable goods. But Ulla says no. We follow Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha in the case of land, but we don't follow him in the case of metaltalin. Okay, that was what Ulla said. Abai challenges Ulla now and says, wait a minute, we've heard something different. Ma le Abai, Abai said to him, halacha nikla deplige. The fact that Ulla said halacha follows Moshe ben Korcha, we understand from that means that there's an argument. If you need to say who the halacha follows, it implies that there's an argument that you don't know. So here, the argument between who Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha arguing with, he's arguing with Rabbanan and as to the case of the witnessing, right? Whether or not we need to witness together.
Now, is that for both property and movable property, or one or the other, or both?
It's a dispute. So Ulla says it's only in the case of land, but Rabbi Chiya bar Avin said in the name of Rab they were in the case of both.
Right.
But if we're just taking Ulla's opinion. If you take Ulla's opinion that they were only arguing in the case of land, so Abai has a problem with that. Abai says to Ulla, it can't be correct. Why not? Because the fact that you said that halacha follows him means that there must be a dispute between him and Rabbanan. Obviously, they're having a machloket. But this shouldn't. But we've heard that there's no machloket between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. They actually agree. How do I know they agree? So the Gemara tells us, Ramar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Huna, Amar Rab. Lamed Amud Bet. We're about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down in the wide lines. And Lamed Amud Bet. Okay. So, we've heard from Rab Abba, who said in the name of Rab Huna, who said in the name of Rab, Modim Chachamim, the Chachamim agree, the rabbis agree, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, the Eidut Karka. They agree in the case of Eidut Karka. We've just said that they're having a machloket about Eidut Karka. What's Eidut Karka? Two witnesses who come to witness in the case of land. We just said that that's what this argument is about. The Rabbanan say they need to witness together, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, no, you don't. But we have here a statement that says, Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha in the case of Karka. So that doesn't seem to be correct. But Tane, and also not only that, Tane Rab Edi, we've heard from Rab Edi, Bar Avin, the Nazikin, Devei Karna, who taught in that section of the Mishnah called Nazikin.
What is Nazikin?
Nazikin means damages.
Okay.
It's the Mishnah is divided into six different sidrot, seders of Mishnah. Nashim, Kadoshim, Kodshim, Nazikin, I don't know.
Nazikin is Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Barakam.
Yeah. So the Masechtot are divided into subject matters.
Mm-hmm.
You can divide them into six areas. So one of them is called damages.
Right.
So that also probably includes Sanhedrin, no? I don't know. If you look at the list of the Mishnayot, the Mishnahs are divided into six Sanhedrin, they say which Masechet is contained in each one. Moedim is another one that contains Shabbos, Yom Tov, and things like that. What else have we got? Zerayim. Contains brachot and things to do with the land. So in any way, he said about the Seder of Nazikim that Modim Hachamim Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, that the sages agree with Rabbi ben Korcha in four things. Right, there was four matters that they agreed on, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha and Hachamim, and one of them was this. So it's strange that we have a machloket now when we've seen that they apparently agreed. So what are the four things that they agree on? Said Rabbi Idibar Avin. So So the first one was Eidut Bechor. When they're testifying about the Bechor. What's a Bechor?
A firstborn animal.
So Bechor means a firstborn. Any firstborn. Right? But here we're talking about a firstborn animal. What happens to the firstborn animal? What does it need to be? What do you need to do with it?
You... Well, since we don't have Beis Mikdash,
you... But if you did, what do you need to do with it? What does the Torah say?
You Beis Mikdash, and they'd... shut it.
No, you give it to the Kohen.
You give it to the Kohen, and the Kohen would...
Kohen can... what are the Kohen? Good morning. For the son. Right, but for the firstborn animal, he gives it to a Kohen, who then offers it up on the altar, but can eat also from the bits of it that he's allowed to eat. All the bechors, because all the bechors.
Today, we still do that. Today.
Right, because all the bechors are consecrated to Hashem. Right, the bechor was meant to be the one who would be serving in the temple. Right, it was taken over by the Levites because the bechors lost it when Reuven lost it. Right, and it was taken by right. So all the firsts, they belong to Hashem. Our first tithe, the first of everything, we give to Hashem, and that's why Pidyon HaBen, also the first born son, is Yubachor? Yeah. Current Bachor.
Well, I heard him think that a Bachor can wash Kohen's hands.
You didn't have one because you were talking.
There's no Levi'im, the Bachor can wash Kohen's hands.
Ah, yeah, yeah, fair.
I don't know, technically, have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah, I was very surprised
that you
said
that.
You're
a Bechor?
No,
my
brother is.
Anyway.
I have to sing the Yom HaBeh with the lady.
Oh, because you're a lady. Tell them the Kohen's lost out. Tov. Anyway, so four things. The we have a Rabbi Idi Bar Amin says in four things. Which, by the way, the learning today is in merit of the Rukua of Aaron Hillel ben Devorah, who is the son of Rabbi Yoel, born recently. He's in hospital. Fortunately, he's in hospital. Rabbi Yoel's son. You four years ago. Anyway, so Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. So apparently they've got a machloket. According to our writer, they're arguing. But now the Gemara is saying, but wait a minute, we've heard from Rav Idi Bar Avin that Rabbanan and Rabbi Yeshua agree on four things. First one is Eidut Bechor. Next one is Eidut Karaka. Third one is Eidut Karaka, Eidut Chazaka. Right? So they apparently agree on those four things. I'm going to see. Eidut Karaka. Is this one? Eidut Karaka. We just said, Ula said, Halacha followed Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, but only in the case of Eidut Karaka. If it follows him in the case of Eidut Karaka, then it means according to Ula, they're arguing about Eduk Karka. That's what it means if he says the halakha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Korkin, but he, in the case of Karka. So they're obviously arguing about Eduk Karka. But it can't be, because we just learned, we're learning now, there's four things that Rabbi Yechidi Bar Avin said, Rabbi Yechidi Bar Avin said they agree on. One of them is Eduk Karka. Huh? This is Eduk Karka. Yeah, no, that's Chazaka. That's Chazaka, because it's based on Chazaka. Nachon. Yeah, no, here Eduk Karka just means two witnesses testify together. Just a simple case. Do they need to test it? Do they need to witness together, or can they witness at separate times? So Machoket, Rabbanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, no, they don't need to witness together. Ullah says that argument that they had was only about Karka. About Metaltelin, they agree. The argument was only about Karka, whether or not you're allowed to witness separately in the case of Karka. They all agree that in the case of Metaltelin, you have to witness together. Right? That Metaltelin. Right, in the case of Metaltelin, everybody agrees that you need to witness together. But in the case of lands, that's where they have my pocket. Rabbi Nan still think you need to witness together, even in the case of land. Rabbi Shurkoha says, no, land is different. In the case of land, you can witness separately. Because land is not going anywhere. Land is a different case. If you've got the brain for it, and I'm putting brackets here, the footnote says, by the way, in this specific case, when we're arguing about land and metaltelin, we don't really mean land and metaltelin. Here the actual argument is between loans and everything else. The metaltelin here is really only loans. Everybody agrees that if you're talking about watches and pens and every other metaltelin, it's the same as land. Something that's fixed, you can see, right? You can't. Right, it's only money loans that can move. That's the metaltelin they're arguing about.
But why not personal property?
Personal property counts as land for this purpose. Why? Because when you're witnessing on the ownership of something, so it has reality. It's got mamashiyut. So it doesn't matter if this is what the Maharishi say. So it doesn't matter if it's a piece of land or a watch. It's the same thing.
So for like watches or cars. Right. You can have two separate witnesses at two different times.
Okay, because we're talking about the same thing. But in the case of money, money is movable and transferable, and it's not. It's a different type of witnessing. You're witnessing to something that has no real existence, because it's not the money itself. The money itself is, we're not talking about these coins or this note. We're talking about money in theory. But when we're witnessing about an actual thing, so that's the case of land, that's why. It's in brackets because it's not crucial for the understanding what we're talking about, but it's also true, so good to mention. Anyway, so now let's just see. So what the Gemara is going to say about this. So the Gemara brought four items. Let's just quickly go through those four items to understand what the four things are they agree on. So the first one is Bechor Edut. So what did we say? We said Bechor Edut refers to the Bechor, the animal Bechor. Firstborn male animal is given to the Kohen. Kohen takes it to the Beit HaMikdash, offers it up as a sacrifice, and then has lunch on the bits that he's allowed to snack on. Very nice. As long as he's washed his hands and done from the mikveh and he's not tamed.
Assuming there's no blemish.
Now, right, if it's a blemish, you're not allowed to offer up on the Beit HaMikdash, on the altar, any blemished animal. It's not Kavod Hashem. Mm. So therefore, what happens to a blemished animal?
The Kohen can still use it or sell it. But he can't offer it up.
The Kohen... No, he can eat it normally. Right, yeah, it loses its kedusha, so to speak, and it now just becomes like an ordinary animal because it's no longer fit. So he can eat it, and have it all for lunch whenever he likes. Right, with no restrictions on it, it's not kedusha, he can do what he likes with it.
But he could also use it.
He can eat the whole thing, he can sell it, he can
right.
Yeah, he gets the full, right? And he doesn't have to.
So it drops down from Kodesh to Hulin.
To Hulin Nachon, yes, very good. Right? So what happened? So it was the Kohen's interest, so to speak, to have a blemish on his animal. Right? So the Kohen would have to I know he shows it to. He would have to show it to someone. It explains here that the Kohenim, unfortunately, sorry, Rabbi Abraham, you are our current representative, so you have to do a chila for it. But the Kohenim were suspected of causing blemishes in their animals so that they could just eat them and not having to take them to get sacrificed. Right? So what does that mean? It means that we didn't believe them.
That's good with me.
It's not your fault. Right? I'm not blaming you. right, so we don't believe them, right? Unless he has to produce witnesses that say that it got blemished and it wasn't done by him. Right? Because it had to happen in his hands. If it was blemished already, it wouldn't have been given to the Kohen. Right? When it was given to the Kohen, it was clean. Otherwise, there's no point giving it to the Kohen. Right? Because he can't take it, right?
Right, but if it's blemished before it gets to the Kohen, don't they have to
leave it to
chop its head off or something like that? You know.
No, they don't have to chop its head off.
No, I remember seeing.
So, Kodesh that gets blemished, I think you have to leave to graze.
No, but it's also
consecrated.
It's also Bechor.
Yeah, no, I think. Yeah, Bechor. A Bechor in the hands of Yisrael, Bli Neder. A Bechor in the hands of Yisrael that gets a blemish. He's not allowed to eat. He has to leave it to graze until it dies, I think. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. Something, you can Google it from Rabbi Google, and or even a higher level rabbi, if you can find one, than that. And
I think they may chop meat out of it.
Huh?
Chop meat they made out of
it. Chop meat?
Chop meat, they would sell it as prime meat.
It's not prime. Mince meat.
For
the I know you're telling me a joke, I'm missing it.
Salami.
It's cheese.
Salami with salami.
Tov, anyway,
the question is can you give your Bechor if he's not behaving right? To the Kohen.
Your Bechor, well, you have to do a Pidyon HaBen. You could just give it to the Kohen and don't give him 30 shekels for it. Just take the kid. It's cheaper.
Yeah. See you in.
You take the kid.
18 right. Years.
Tov. Anyway, good morning. Tov. So that's the book. So anyway, so what happens? So what's the argument that they're agreeing on? They're agreeing on whether or not. If it had two blemishes, and we had two witnesses, and each one testified to one blemish, each one witnessed one blemish, does that combine to make valid testimony of two? So that's where the case where Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha and Hachamim agree that they may be combined. That if you had two witnesses to two separate blemishes, each one witnessed a single blemish, then that will be enough to validly declare it to be chulin. Yes?
Do you know we covered yesterday where you only need one witness to make something usser?
Yes.
Such as trade meat?
Yes.
Wouldn't this be the same thing?
No, because this is making it osa. This is making it mutar. This is making it permitted to him. If you find a blemish in it, it now becomes permitted to you. It doesn't become osa to you.
Right, but it's usser for it dropping the status down from Kodesh.
Very
to
nice.
Poland.
But what we're trying to do, we're not going to allow you to take it for yourself, mutar free, unless you've got two witnesses. To make it forbidden to you, fine. One witness. See the logic. If you bring something to court because you want to be to have it, so you're going to need two witnesses. But if it's something against your interest to usher it from you, then one will be enough, because then we believe.
Right.
One. But we, if you're going to benefit from it, you're going to have two witnesses to benefit from something.
Well, the benefit is, what I'm arguing is that you're dropping the status down from Kodesh to Hohen.
It's not a benefit to you.
No.
To the litigant who's trying to bring the claim, it's not a benefit.
No, but...
And that's the one that we need to
believe.
The
person who's giving it to the Kohen...
He's already given it to the Kohen. It's now in the hands of the Kohen.
Okay.
The Kohen now wants to eat it for its lunch without having to schlep all the way to the Beit HaMikdash and lose half of it on the altar.
So actually he's dropping down in status. Because ideally...
Yeah, but it's not. I'm making it awesome.
Because ideally it should be going to the Beit HaMikdash as a korban. But it's dropping down its status to a spoon, like dropping it down to ground beef.
Okay.
Instead of, you dip prime steak and then you're turning into ground beef.
Yofi. Okay, so that's Bechor. Right, number two, Eduk Karka, that's the one we just dealt with. Right, Eduk Karka is this argument about whether or not you have two witnesses who witness that the ownership of a piece of land. One witness has said, we're going to see later on, the Gemara is going to actually say what's the case. Because there's two ways of, there's two different types of witnessing. We're going to see later. One's called a witness of admission, and one's called a witness of, what do we call it? A witness to the fact itself.
Witness to the loan?
Yeah, here they do it in the case of loan. Right? In the case of a loan, it's easier. One is witnessing the loan itself, and one is witnessing he admits the fact that he's got a loan. Anyway, so here in the case of land, the simple case is that he admitted to two people that he owns the land, the land belongs to someone else. Right? So on Monday, he says to Moshe, you know that land belongs to David. And on Tuesday, he says to Reuven, you know that land belongs to David. So they didn't witness together. They both heard at different times from him. So, in that case, they argue, apparently, or they agree, depending on which side of where we're holding, that's the case that we're dealing with, whether or not you can combine those two testimonies. They didn't witness together. One witnessed on Monday, and one witnessed on Tuesday. He told me on Monday, he told me on Tuesday. They combine?
This is assuming that there's no star saying that the land belongs to David.
Unless we can prove otherwise, yeah. Do we believe these two witnesses? Well, the question is: are they valid witnesses? You can argue whatever you like, but can you bring these two guys to court, or are they just thrown out? So the argument is: do they combine or not? Is this enough to fulfill the criteria that the Torah says you need two witnesses? And that's what we're talking about. So that's land. Eidut Hazaka is again a Hazaka. It again can be in land. It's the usual case of Hazaka. So what's the case there? So here the case again of two witnesses combining. How do two witnesses combine for a Hazaka? So here we're not saying that they both... What's the Hazaka we're talking about on land? 3 years, right? That someone occupied it for 3 years. If we had one person who saw the guy on the land for 3 years, and independently we had another person who also saw the guy on the land for those same 3 years, then that's not the argument. Everybody agrees that combines. What we're talking about here is, does it combine if one saw 3 years and the other one saw a different 3 years? So they both saw a 3-year period. It wasn't the same 3 years. But each one says he's got a Hazaka for 3 years. Do they combine to have a Hazaka for 3 years? That's all he needs. He only needs a Hazaka for 3 years, and it's his.
No land.
doesn't matter if they're, no, we're not talking about overlapping, because then you've got one a year that's overlapped. You either need all or none. If they overlap completely, then you've got two witnesses. Right? It's not an argument. But if they're completely separate, 2-3 year periods. So that's what we're agreeing on. According to Rabbi Idi Bar Avin, everyone who says in the name of the sage that brought it, brings Google into the world, Rabbi Idi Bar Avin says they agree in those four cases. So they agree in that case. In the case of Hazaka, Chachmin also agree. In the case of Ben and Bat, the Gemara itself is going to come onto that. And look at that in more detail. But the case of Ben and Bat is whether or not a boy or a girl has reached the age of maturity. That is 12 years for a girl and 13 years for a boy, plus two hairs. To be, we take it on a hazaka now for bar mitzvahs, etc., that they have. But if according, because it doesn't really matter, it's not like crucial. But if it's deraita, that you need something crucial, then they should have to be checked to see that they have at least two hairs growing. Now,
also for the girl.
Yeah, also for the girl. Also needs two hairs. Now, the Gemara discusses in different masechet where the two hairs need to be. And the view that we follow is the two hairs need to be in the pubic area. Right? There's another view that they don't have to be, but the one we follow is, right? So the Gemara is now saying, so you need to have two hairs in that place. So in the case of where they agree in the testimony, right, where is one witnessed one hair, one said I saw one hair, and another person said I saw another hair in a different place. So one saw one hair in one place, in that area where they need to be, but it wasn't the same hair. So do the fact that you need two hairs. So if one saw one hair and one saw another hair, do those combine together to make a valid testimony of two hairs?
No, they need two hairs. One witness sees two hairs. The other witness sees another two hairs.
So we're going to see the Gemara is going to come on to the exact case in a minute, but that's the basic case.
What does the woman need two hairs for?
To prove that she is over 12.
To do what?
Oh, to be legally overage. She can. She's a legally overage girl. Can she has? She can get. She can make a transaction.
She can make a transaction.
A Kenyan.
Who's gonna witness it? The women can't bear witness.
No, they can put witness against them. People can witness her transaction. She goes to buy a loaf of bread in the shop. She says, I paid the money, and there's two witnesses standing there. Fine, go to court. Right? Women have a lot, just because they're not standing up there in court giving evidence. Doesn't mean that they don't have the age of majority. She's the age of majority for all other purposes.
You know, so... candle lighting.
Right, chiyuv in all the mitzvahs. She's not chiyuv in all the mitzvahs until she's 11 years and two heads. Now she's chiyuv in all the mitzvahs. She's now chayav in the mitzvah. But until then, she wasn't. That's a big enough. Nafkamina. Tov, okay. So they're the four cases that they agree on. So how can it be that Ullah says that's where the argument is between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha? How can Ullah say they argue there when Rav Idi Bar Avin says they agree there? Gemara answers. Gavra agavra, karamit. One man against the other. You're right, they argue, but it's one man against the other. They're allowed to argue. The masavar plige, masavar lo plige. One says that they argue in this, the other says they argue in that. They don't argue in this. It's not conclusive. It's not a conclusive... Torah. It's not, they're allowed to argue as to the as to what the Braita is dealing with. Okay, next. So the Gemara now goes to back to that fourth case, the case of the Ben and the Bat, the boy and the girl. Right, it wants to look a little bit further. Which case, what are we saying exactly here is the case that they witnessed? Right? How are we saying that the witnessing combines in this case? Eleim, if you want to say, Achad Omer, Achad Begaba, Achad Omer, Achad Bekresa. If you want to say, one said I saw a hair on the back, and one says I saw a hair on the Kresa, the tummy, the stomach. The footnote says, by the way, that what we're talking about here, we're talking about different parts of the pubic area. The back, the gav, and the abdomen, and the crater are only euphemisms for different places. Right? Stop. So one saw one hair in one place, one saw one hair. If you say that, it can't be that, because each one is then only seen one hair, and it's only chetzi edut. The witnessing that a person needs to see, you need to witness two hairs. Can't witness one hair, it's like nothing. So it needs to be, each witness needs to see the full event. Can't see half an event and try and combine it with another half an event. No one says that's combining witnesses. We're talking about one witness saw the whole thing, another witness saw the whole thing, and can we combine those two witnesses? So it can't be that. Ela Raza Achad Omer Shtayim Begaba Achad Omer Shtayim Bekresa. Two said he saw in one person said he saw two hairs in one place, and another one said I saw two hairs in another place. Now we've got a full testimony, and now we can combine them. That's the case. If they both saw the same two hairs, it's not an argument, right? Two witnesses, they didn't see it at the same time, but everybody agrees that that's okay. But if they both saw two different hairs, then that's the case that we agree on. Right? Like the one that saw two different blemishes. One saw one blemish, one saw another. Right? Each saw, but they and one that saw one group of 3 years, and the other saw a group of 3 years. Right? It's basically the same case in three different formats.
The animal needs one blemish or two?
Yeah, what just needs one blemish? Right. Okay, so that was the case. How are we doing? Yep, doing well. Now. Okay. So now we're looking, moving into the case of loans. Now, in the case of loans, we have two possibilities for the witnessing. Did the witness witness the loan itself, or did the witness witness the fact that the borrower admitted having the money, receiving the money? What did he act? There's two different possibilities that you could be witnessing in the case of the loan. He witnessed the actual event, or he witnessed an admission by the defendant, let's say, that here is the money. Do they combine? First, we're going to see there's three possibilities here. We had two witnesses to the loan itself, or we had two witnesses to an admission, or we had one witness to an admission and one witness to a loan, to the loan, right? They're the combinations that you could have of two witnesses. So let's see what the Gemara is going to say about this situation. Mar Rav Yosef said, Ana Amina Mishmer de Ula. I say in the name of Ula. I don't know what it means when he says I say. Like, obviously these things have meaning. I say in the name of Ula. Presumably like other people don't. Other people don't agree with me, but I say in the name of Ula. Where we are? We're Lamed Bet. Thirteen lines down from the top. What line begins with the word Ella Echad? Little bet next to Ella. At the end of that line, the word Anna. Ana amina mishmer de Ola. I say in the name of Ola, halacha k'Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chocha. The halacha followed Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chocha. Everybody's going with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chocha here, right? He's the right. But in regard to what, we're not sure. Everybody knows it follows Rabbi. Exactly what the argument was not so clear. Bein b'karka, bein b'tamatatalit. In both, right? We said Ola said that it was only Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chocha in the case of land, but now Rabbi Yehoshua said no. It followed Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chocha in the case of both. Okay, the Rabbanan de Atu Mechuzah, and the rabbis who came from Mechuzah, Amrei, they said, Amar Rav Zeira, the Rav Zeira said, Mishmer de Rav, in the name of Rav, Bekarka Ein, Aval Lo Betaltalin. So they're the ones who said that no, the dispute is in the case of land only. The rabbis who came from Mechuzah said, in the name of Rav. So the Gemara says, Rav Latame. Rav goes like his own ruling. You can't hold by Rav, because we know Rav has got a certain shita. Meaning, if you say it goes like Rav, when the Gemara says Rav Latame, meaning he's got his own shita that he's following. So it doesn't necessarily always going to follow that. We might go by Rav, but you should know that his ruling's based on his own logic. He's got a certain shita, as opposed to maybe saying it's correct for in its own right. Why? Damar Rav, because heard from Rav. Hoda'a acha hoda'a. An admission after an admission. Or hoda'a acha halva'a. Or admission after a loan. Mitzalfei, they combine. An admission after an admission. That means two separate cases, two separate witnesses. One heard an admission, and then another one heard another admission, right? The borrower admits to Moshe on Monday, and he admits to Shimon on Tuesday. Two different hoda'ot. Hoda'a achar hoda'ot. Or hoda'a achar va'a. There was an admission after the loan itself, one witness the loan itself, and one witness an admission. In both cases, they combine, says Rav. But halva'a achar halva'a, a loan after a loan, or halva'a achar hoda'a lo mitzafek, or loan after the admission, don't combine. What's the difference? What's the difference in the two cases? Why does he say a loan after admission after admission combines, or an admission after a loan combines, but not a loan after a loan or a loan after an admission? What's the logic? What's going on?
Okay, the admission, the admission after the admission is Reuven sees, here's Yaakov admitting that he borrowed money from Shimon. And then the next day, David hears Yaakov admitting that he borrowed money from Shimon.
Yaffi.
And the loan is, the admission at following loan is, Shimon borrowed, heard Yaakov saying he borrowed money from Yaakov.
No. No, that's not a loan.
No, the admission.
That's an admission. But the loan.
Then following.
What's the loan?
The loan is that was saying Yaakov borrowing money from Shimon, and then
saw it.
Saw it.
Yes.
And then another person saying he actually heard Yaakov saying he borrowed money from the person. I'm getting confused on names. Whereas a loan following loan is one person sees one person borrowing money from another person on one day, and another person sees another loan from the same person. So it could be two different loans. And the loan following the admission is someone watching.
The admission comes first.
Right, the admission comes first, then the loan.
Right, so what did it...
So the problem is that it could be two different loans.
Right, in the second case, it could be two different loans. In the second case, he either saw two witnesses saw two different loans taking place, a loan after a loan. So that doesn't help. A loan after a loan are two different loans. A loan after an admission, so it must also be a separate loan, because if the admission came first, I lent money to David on Monday, and then on Tuesday, another witness sees a loan between that same person and David. Then we've got two different loans. So that's why Rav says that the first case, they're witnessing the same loan. It's the same admission. And it's the same admission dealing with the same loan. But in the second case, although we're talking about the same people, the same parties, and the same amount of money, it looks like we're dealing with two different loans. And that's why they don't combine in the second case. Tom, let's stop there. 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm.